All right, and good morning, good day, good evening, and welcome to another exciting episode of Sports Biz, an insight into the business world of pro sports. First of all, and I hope it's not too late to say this, but Happy New Year to everybody, man. I hope you guys had an awesome time off. You know, you're always with your host, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela, you know, one of the coldest sports agents in history. I'm already dubbing myself that. But anyway, jokes aside, I hope you guys had, some good, awesome time off. I know I did. The last time I dropped an episode was, I think, on December 15th. And, after grinding for so long, after grinding for so long and, building up the podcast to, over 130 episodes, in 3 years, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. So I just felt like, for the first time in 3 years, I'm going to actually take a break and take some time off and actually work on other facets, of my business, the agency and everything. So that allowed me to do that. And it was actually kind of nice, but obviously, as I've always told you guys in previous episodes, I really love doing this. I love podcasting. I love it as an outlet that, any types of thoughts that I'm having, I'm able to express them here and I'm able to, share my insight, into the business world of professional sports. So it's always a privilege to be here. But yeah, having a vacation from you guys, the listeners, I wasn't mad at that. And I'm sure you guys were also kind of relieved to, get a bit of a break from me as well. Missed you guys, man. Missed, bringing you the content and just talking, all things sports related, So in the comment section, for our Spotify for podcasters and Spotify, you guys can let us know, let us know what your New Year's resolutions are. Personally, I don't really do the whole New Year's resolution. Because in all honesty, man, I just believe that they become a fad and they fade out pretty quickly. What I do, though, is like at the beginning of every year, for example, I did it this year as well. So on December 31st, I took an overnight trip to Yokohama, which is not too far. It's also in the Kanagawa region, close to Tokyo. I took a nice trip to Yokohama, spent some time over there, with my lady friend and, stayed over at the hotel over there. And then, on the 1st of January, went to a restaurant and just took out a book and just wrote everything that I'd love to achieve this year. Mostly, I would say more like setting goals than New Year's resolutions, that I do every year, just to set goals. And I mean, at the end of the year, I hold myself accountable. I check, okay, what is it that I was able to achieve? What was it that I fell short? And then I become, sort of like honest with myself that, okay, why didn't I reach this goal? What happened? And how do I hold myself accountable and responsible for the fact that it didn't, come to fruition? But everything I'd set in 2023, 90% of it, I was able to get it done. I fell short in some of them, but it is what it is, it is what it is. You can still look at yourself even in a broken mirror. So let us know, man. Let us know what your goals are, what you love to achieve this year, what your resolutions are. Because I know for most, they set New Year's resolutions. I'm going to hit the gym more. 3 months down the line, boof, that thing's gone out the window. The one thing I always encourage people, especially when it comes to nutrition and looking after yourself, that instead of setting it as a goal or as a resolution, just make it part of your lifestyle. like going to the bathroom, taking a piss and doing number two. Make it a part of your lifestyle that this thing has to be a part of it. That's actually how you start building discipline towards it, is because you tell yourself that, listen, this is important for my well-being. This is important for my mental health. This is important for, just for me to feel good, for my productivity. Because, I mean, listen, when you're building a business, man, don't let, social media fool you, people taking pictures, here. It's a tough journey. There are days when it's not glamorous. There are days when, you are literally in the cut. There are days that give you anxiety, all of this. So building is not easy, and having sort of like an outlet, whether, I'm not saying you should be a gym rat, just sometimes standing up and just going for a walk can be just as helpful. I was listening to this other podcast, Diary of a CEO, and Steve Bartlett was actually interviewing, this lady who's a doctor, so she's basically talking about just ways in which people can look after themselves, because, as we currently stand, currently there's so much of a burnout that's happening within society, and it's all caused mainly by technology. People spending way too much time on social media, especially in the wee hours of the night, not getting enough sleep, being sleep deprived, not exercising and all that stuff. And, she was also very honest and said that the first time she went into a gym, it was intimidating for her. She saw all these machines that she didn't know how to operate, and she just turned around as motivated as she was and walked back out. And she says this state-of-the-art gym was in her work facility. So if a person like that, who knows that exercising is good for her, was intimidated by that kind of setting, it can happen to anyone. So she did recommend that sometimes just starting off by going for a walk can be helpful. And what that in turn does is, after you've been taking a walk for some time, guess what starts to happen? You start to be like, this is really easy for me. How do I challenge myself more? And then that walk sometimes will turn into a slow jog. All right. And over time, you get used to that as well. And you're like, all right, this is also, getting a bit easy. How do I challenge myself some more? And then guess what? You're going to want to level it up. And then you're going to start jogging faster, jogging farther, jogging like further and stuff like that. So, that's how I've learned to sort of like build up a sort of like discipline. And I mean, look, for me, working out and staying healthy and all that stuff, that came also with my sporting history. So I'm never going to put myself in the same position as someone maybe who had no interest in playing any sport, but now wants to live a healthy lifestyle. So I'm never going to, how can I say, enforce my values on a person like that, because my motivation was I wanted to be good at sport. But now that I don't play anymore, I'm still motivated. That motivation is still there, that, listen, I loved the feeling I had after working out. I love the endorphin rush. I love feeling good because that makes me productive throughout my day. So yeah, that's just my take in terms of, making resolutions on staying healthy and everything. But again, this podcast episode, I didn't come here to give health tips and to, to be your trainer, to be your podcast trainer, personal trainer. No, I didn't come to do that. Today, we're actually going to talk. We're going to talk a bit of football, all right, in the podcast. We're going to talk a bit of football. we're going to probably dab on other sporting codes as well, but the main focus will mostly be on football. Disclaimer, full disclaimer, as the first episode of 2024, this episode is unscripted. Not that any of the other ones are, but this episode is unscripted, so everything that I'm talking about are just things that spring into mind. But there is a certain topic that I want to focus on that's literally going to be me holding athletes accountable and responsible. All right. So don't go anywhere. And I'll see you guys after the commercial break. All right, see you. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, in an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. And everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, you know. My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right. That's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. Bekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back. And just before we dive into today's episode, a further shout out to our other sponsors of the podcast. Shout out to MyProtein. All right, during my time off, man, I actually took some time to do other things, you know, just to focus on, you know, working out. I worked out a lot in December, and I mean, here in Japan, it's pretty cold. So I actually sort of like did a variation type of thing where I was working out in the gym. And on some days I was actually outside running, and, you know, there's like in the park that's near the place that I live, there's, you know, these heavy stones that are there. So I've been training in the weight room and also caveman style, man, just lifting heavy stones. And I must say, it's been quite a good combination, you know, of working out, because that one is more functional, you know. But I won't lie to you, I felt like I was building more strength when I was, you know, training caveman style. No lies, I kid you not. Taking nothing away from weight training, man, I also think that's pretty good. But, you know, just having a variation of ways to train has been, you know, pretty good. But the point I'm trying to make is none of that could have been possible, man, without, you know, using MyProtein. They've got such good protein shakes. I'm always on the whey protein, using the BCAAs. Again, you know, And the multivitamins as well, they've been very helpful, you know, during this winter period, because during wintertime, it's so easy to catch a cold, you know, because you're constantly around people that are coughing and stuff. And I usually commute by using, you know, the train and stuff like that. So you're always around a lot of people. So yeah, being able to have multivitamins from MyProtein and also using other protein supplements, such as, you know, the whey protein for recovery has been really good. And I've felt the difference, you know, I feel strong. And all right, so I definitely recommend that you guys check that out. I'll make sure, yeah, to drop the link, which will be on. I'm actually, you know, starting this year, I'm actually going to provide one link, all right, from my Linktree. So Linktree will basically provide all the links to, you know, our affiliate partners and, you know, some of the products that we have, you know, for in our business as well, like our books and our shoes, you know, our merchandise. You can get all of those links under one link, which is Linktree. All right. So I'll make sure to link that on the description of the podcast, and that's where you'll be able to find the link to MyProtein. Okay. And then also shout out to Nike Australia, shout out to Nike Corporation. And yeah, we're glad that in 2024 we're still rocking with these guys, man. Yeah, Nike released their winter and summer wear, depending on which hemisphere you're in. And all I'm gonna say is it is hot fire. All right, make sure to check them out. And I'll also provide the link to the Nike online store on the link tree that I will share on the description of the podcast. All right, so you'll also be able to find their link as well. And then thank you, 365 Games, for also keeping us entertained during this holiday period that we've been on. I always love, you know, playing video games. I've been going hard on Dream League Soccer. I've caught more losses than wins, but we keep going. All right, thank you to them. And for the latest, you know, gaming consoles, gaming, you know, content, you can always check out on 365 Games UK. All right, so with that being said, let us start today's episode. So in selecting what I wanted to talk about on the first episode of 2024, I thought about it hard and I was like, you know what? I actually definitely, we got to open up talking football. This is going to mostly focus on talking football. And just with reference to FIFA, enforcing the rule last year. This was last year, October 1st. Okay. So after, you know, the agent's exam was taken in September, FIFA basically enforced the FIFA agent regulations that will basically govern sports agents, I guess, from August 1st, 2023 and beyond. And one of them, like one of them, and the point that I actually want to talk about and discuss today is the FIFA Clearing House. Okay, so in talking about the FIFA Clearing House, for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, no, I'm not talking about a real house. All right, the FIFA Clearing House is basically the intermediary sort of like platform where, you know, players are going to be able to pay agents, basically. So what it means is that when an agent concludes or brokers a deal between a club and a player, all right, doesn't matter who is representing, if, you know, if it's under FIFA jurisdiction, that agent cannot claim the money directly from the player anymore. All right, as I understand the FIFA Clearing House, what it means is that when a, you know, when a deal is brokered, the money has to be paid into the FIFA Clearing House, and then the FIFA Clearing House will then pay the agent. So it's like there's an intermediary between the two parties, between the agent and the client, whether it be a club, whether it be a player. All right. And the reason for this is because obviously FIFA wants full, how can I say, they want full transparency of the payments that happen, because it has happened in the past where even though there was an agreed amount of money that should have been paid, you know, some people behave in a very unethical manner and there's a lot of money under the table that's paid, you know, so it just ended up becoming a mess. And I guess this is where, this is a way of FIFA making sure that they regulate and to make sure that the correct amount of money is compensated to sports agents for brokering the, you know, those deals. Nothing more, nothing less. All right. So, and I mean, I'm sure people wonder, you know, you're probably wondering why, okay, why am I talking about this? No, I'm talking about this because now athletes who squander their money will not be able to walk around and say that, yeah, I'm broke, I'm like this because of said sports agent. You know, they've been, yeah, they've been able to get away with it for many years, where in most parts it wasn't true. Yes, don't get me wrong, there are dirty agents and there are agents who have done players dirty in the past. But as I understand, and especially within the rugby circles, and now knowing the football circles, it doesn't always work like that. Like, a team will not pay an agent before they pay the player. A team pays the player, and then in turn the player had to pay the agent, had to pay like the monthly commission fee. You know, I'll even share an example of myself. So when I was 21, right? When I was 21, man, I quickly saw, and I've told this story to, you know, to other people. When I was 21, I quickly saw that, okay, it doesn't seem like I'm going to make it, you know, within this rugby thing in South Africa. So I was like, all right, what's the next plan? And I'd always expressed, anyone who met me during those years, like 2008, 2009, will know that I always talked about having an interest in playing rugby overseas, you know. So in 2009, 2010 was when I started really going hard at it. I remember in 2009, I made my very first rugby resume. You know, I made my very first rugby CV. And I remember feeling, I remember feeling so grown up and so proud of myself. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to start, you know, contacting agents and just, you know, seeing what's what. And that's exactly what I did. Like, I hustled, man. I remember being at the rugby house in 2009. And this was when I actually, I'm going to go a little bit off tangent. This was when I realized that it's never really good to share a lot of information, you know, to other players or other people around you, because you never know who might be, you know, feeling jealous and stuff like that. And I remember there was this one guy, we called him Habana. I don't know why, because he was nothing like Habana. But yeah, so, you know, we were just having this conversation. We're all, you know, sitting around smoking hubbly. It was just before we were going to go to training. So we're all talking about, yeah, man, you know, I'm really interested in playing overseas. And I had my CV with me. I'm like, I'm actually meeting, and I'd organized to meet an agent at the High Performance Center. So we're sitting there and I'm like, yeah, you know, I've got a meeting with an agent later this week, so I have to submit my CV. So I'm just, you know, I'm not giving it to guys to look at it so that they can be like, wow. I'm just giving it so that guys can just look if I wrote it correctly. And I remember this Habana guy grabbed my CV, he looked at it, and his facial expression just changed. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck just happened? Like, he went from smiling to straight up like being, I don't want to say angry, but he frowned, man. I'm like, and I took it back, and I'm like looking at this guy, I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah. He's like, it's a good CV, man. It's a good CV. But I could tell that, okay, he felt some type of way about it. And yeah, after that, I never shared my CV with guys again, because I was like, I don't want to make guys feel that type of way, man, you know? Because I wasn't bragging. I was just, because it was my first CV. So I was just, you know, trying to bounce off ideas or try to get a second opinion. Like, how does my CV look? I didn't know that the guy was going to focus on the content of what my CV was. But yeah, when he saw it, man, his facial expression changed. And yeah, that made me feel a bit uncomfortable as well. That's why I took it back. And after that, me and him, we just never vibed again, you know. But anyway, that's that story. See, I went off tangent like I told you guys. But anyway, yeah, so in 09, the point I'm trying to make was I was going hard, you know, reaching out to agents, and I eventually found one, and her name was Celeste. That's a lady agent, man. I'm like, you know, for me, I didn't care who represented me, just so long as, you know, we could get something. But anyway, so Celeste agreed to meet up with me. All right. So we met up and she basically asked me, okay, so what are your plans? When do you want to leave? I'm like, look, Celeste, I still want to make, this was before Curry Cup Under 21, 2009. So I'm like, I still want to make the Curry Cup Under 21. And as much as, you know, I was at the Bulls Tux Rugby Academy, I knew that I wasn't going to make the Blue Bulls Under 21 team. So I was like, all right, as things are looking, it looks as though I'm going to make the either the Falcons or the Pumas. And she was like, that's good, that's good. And she advised me, she's like, all right, in all the games that you play, make sure you get, you know, video footage and everything. And I was like, cool, all right, I'll make sure I do that. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. I did everything that she told me. And I remember her showing me the contract that I would sign with her. And the contract stipulated that basically anything I earned from a club, 5% of that I need to pay to her. You know? So that's the point I'm trying to make, that I still didn't understand athletes who went around saying the agent took my money, the agent took my money, where in most professional sports, the teams pay the athlete and the athlete has to pay the agent. You know, and it's like that. I know it's like that in the NFL as well, because I remember listening to a podcast where a guy was talking about the very first NFL check that he received, you know, and he was talking about how after he got, you know, the check came, he looked at it and he got angry. He's like, where the hell's the rest of my money? You know, and he called his agent. He's like, who the hell is FICA? And the agent told him that, listen, FICA are the guys who take, you know, that you have to pay revenue to, you know, taxes. And then after that, he was like, and remember, they are still the agent fees that you need to pay. You know, so it's always been the athlete's responsibility. So I've never understood, every time I'm listening to these athletes tell their stories and they're talking about how agents stole their money, how can that be when the team pays you so that you pay your agent? You know, that's when I started calling bullshit and being like, you know, no, some of them were just shifting the blame. Yes, there are those who were maybe duped by agents who maybe tried to get like power of attorney over their accounts and stuff like that. I get that. But in most cases within professional sports, the team always pays the player and in turn the player has to pay the agent. That's how in most sporting codes it's been. All right. There are exceptions, you know, to the rule, but that's how the status quo is in terms of how the agent makes his money. So now, with the FIFA clearinghouse, the question that I have is, how are athletes, especially football players, how are they going to be able to blame agents for taking their money? Because now, literally, as the player, you are instructed to pay into the FIFA clearinghouse, and then the FIFA clearinghouse is the one that pays the agent the money that's due to them. You know, so, you know, in my opinion, like when talking about the FIFA clearinghouse, I want to 100% support it, because it's really going to free agents from being liable, you know, in taking the rap or taking the blame for athletes who decided to squander their money and now they refuse to accept responsibility. All right. This is a very important thing, and it's really going to force a lot of guys to man up or woman up and really face up to responsibilities, that if you were fortunate enough to have a pro career and earn an exceptional amount of money, and at the end of it all, it's all gone, you're going to have no one else to look at but yourself, because the agent can't be blamed. There's the clearinghouse. There's the FIFA clearinghouse. You know, but yeah, so that's what I wanted to talk about, man, is that, you know, this really will change the face of how agents are viewed. Because honestly, man, the reputation and just the stigma around sports agents is that everyone just looks at them as scam artists and all that stuff. And that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. I do admit there are bad agents. There are scandalous, you know, grimy agents. Yes, they are out there. But I feel like everyone focuses on those guys and they forget about the agents that are out here doing good, out here changing young men and women's lives, able to broker deals where these athletes are able to earn money that is life-changing. I mean, football is the biggest sport in the world. And to make it to the pros, I don't care what league you are playing in, that is always an opportunity for you to change your life and to change, you know, the trajectory of your family's life as well. And there are agents who broker these deals. There are agents who are out here not sleeping or sleeping very little, using their own resources to travel, you know, to make sure that these things come to fruition. Sometimes teams want to meet on random days and agents have to, again, use their, you know, their resources to get there, to broker the deals on behalf of the athlete. You know, I feel like those guys are never given their flowers and they're never given the celebration that they deserve. Because this business, man, it's enjoyable, it's worth it, but it isn't easy. I promise you, if it was, everybody would be on it. You know, everybody would be on it. So just, yeah, man, shout out to the FIFA Clearinghouse. I really do believe that it's going to really free so many agents of liability. And yeah, man, it'll make things okay. I think it's really going to make the process smoother. You know, I think on the agent side, and this is what I would really encourage all aspiring, especially football agents, guys that are looking to become FIFA licensed agents. My advice to you, man, is that build assets around your agency. You know, as much as you getting your FIFA license opens up an opportunity, excuse me, I just burped, opens up an opportunity for you, you know, to open up your own shop, open up your own agency, and, you know, give you that entrepreneurial, how can I say, opportunity. But what you also got to realize, and I actually read this last year through a person who owned a marketing agency, confessed, he was like, listen, agencies, man, they are cash rich, but asset poor. Meaning that you are constantly dependent on your, you know, on your clients, basically. And what tends to happen within the sporting world, as you know, sports is a very competitive environment. It's not only competitive on the field as a player, it's competitive in all structures, whether it's being, you know, as a coach, you're competing with another coach. And guess what? It's no different in the business side of pro sports as well. When you're an agent, you're constantly competing with other agencies in landing, you know, the big clients. So obviously, even though a client, an athlete client, athlete footballer is signed to you, and it seems like this person will never leave, this person will always be by your side, people change their minds and they are allowed to. You know, people change their minds, so you can never bank on the athlete staying with you for life. And I don't care who they are. Sometimes it happens amongst representing family members. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be signed to you forever. You know, sometimes, especially when your contract is coming to an end, you know, when your contract's coming to an end, an agent, like I think 60 days before the contract expires, another agent is allowed to approach your client and ask them, you know, about their availability. And they are within their rights, you know. So now if a bigger agency, let's say you're a guy, you're, you know, a new agent who's just gotten their who's just gotten their accreditation and you want to open up your own shop. Obviously, starting out, you're not going to be the biggest agency out there. You know, big talent, they're going to be like, all right, what are you offering? Because other bigger agencies that have been around for 20, 30, 50, 100 years plus have more resources. They've got private jets. They've got access to this, access to that. You know, so you are literally competing against those guys. So the point that I'm trying to make is that for you to not fall prey to being a slave to your clients, so to speak, you know, because when you become dependent on them and clients know that without them, your agency would basically go under, then they start mistreating you. It's just the common human nature that when a human realizes that you're dependent on them, some of them start to abuse their power. You know, so my advice to, you know, aspiring up and coming agents is that, guys, figure out a way to build assets around your agency, whatever that is for you. Whether that means, you know, getting into merchandising, you know, creating products or whatever, you know, selling supplements, dropping your own supplement brand. It can be anything. Just think of anything that would be able to sustain your business, even if, you know, clients weren't there. Because when clients see that, okay, this is a well-established, you know, agency that, you know, sort of like is able to run itself and able to generate revenue for itself, then they're not going to treat you badly, because they're going to know you don't need them for you to stay afloat. You know, so yeah, man, that's my advice to you, man. So shout out to Chris Smith, man. He's a big esports guy, and they've just created, you know, an amazing AI product. I think it's like a marketing agency in your pocket. Like, they've created an AI, something to do with AI, an app, tech, you know, tech driven sort of like agency. Where, yeah, they're going to be able to use AI involved there. I think it's called Bigger AI. And yeah, man, they're really doing well. You know, shout out to them. And shout out to him for sharing such game that this is the realization he came to. And don't get me wrong, you know, he was making a lot of money as just an agent. But he realized that it was burning him out. He constantly felt burnt out. You know, when you build assets around your agency, it also helps you to, you know, to not have to, how can I say, work yourself into a stupor, not overwork yourself. When you've got these asset generating or not asset generating or these revenue generating assets, then it kind of calms you down as an agent, and you're able to navigate without, you know, anxiety. And like I say, I'll let you be creative on how you can build an asset that can support your agency. But I definitely, you know, urge you to do that if you're looking at getting into the agency game, because you can never bank on athletes staying with your agency forever. And sometimes it's really no hard feelings. You know, sometimes it's just you, let's say you sign the contract and you work together on this deal, and maybe after the contract runs itself out, you know, guys want to move on. You know, it happens. That's the business. You know, it really happens. So arm yourself and build assets around your agency. You know, for 2024, every time I talk about this, I'm always going to reiterate when talking about this topic that in building an agency, this is the one thing I've come to learn as well, is that it's important to build assets. All right. But yeah, other ideas on what assets to build, make sure you can check it out on my course that I offer in Udemy, you know, becoming a sports agent and building your agency brand. I share all the information on that course. It's available on Udemy. The link to it will also be on the Linktree link as well, so you can find it on there. Everything, you know, related to our business is on the Linktree, so you can definitely find it there. You know, take the course. Actually, you know, and I'm very grateful. Thank you before I forget, thank you to everybody that's been signing up and taking the course on Udemy. If you want to take it at a cheaper price, we do offer the course on Athlete Network as well, you know, on our sports tech, on our sports social network platform. The course is also available on there, and it's actually available at a lower price, because for that one, we do not provide the notes, but you can stream the videos and you can take the course. So yeah, on the Udemy one, the notes are available. All right, you get an attached PDF of the PowerPoint presentation, and then on the one that's available on Athlete Network, that one is just for view, you know, streaming the video. But in looking at the video, the PowerPoint presentation is the video, basically. All right, so you can check out the course there. We offer it at a lesser price, and you can just learn about how to basically, you know, build assets around your business. All right, and you got to be patient with them as well, guys. Building these assets doesn't mean they're going to generate revenue for you straight away, but building these assets gives you an opportunity to work on them so that they can start generating revenue. All right. And this can become your passive income. You know, once you've worked on it hard enough, you won't even have to do much, where people are just going to be able to find your stuff online and just purchase. So it's going to be passive income, making money while you sleep, you know. And who knows what this can do in a couple of years. This can literally be the main thing that's keeping your agency afloat, maybe when you don't have top talent on your roster. Okay? So don't ever say Chezzy didn't share game with you, man. Don't ever say that. But definitely look into that, guys. You know, aspiring sports agents, whatever sporting code, build assets around your agency. You'll be thankful. You'll thank yourself that you did. All right, guys. So yeah. So that was the whole point of talking about the FIFA Clearinghouse, was just to hold athletes accountable and responsible for their, you know, finances. And I mean, I know entering the business, most times they enter at a young age. So nobody's really thinking about the long term when they're 19, 20, 21. You know, and with this social media era and instant gratification, everybody wants the now. Let me show everyone how I'm balling now. It's all about the now. But where we as agents come into this is just by sitting someone down and just, you know, trying to not let them get caught up in the social media buzz. You know, I think that's the main challenge, is just keeping guys, you know, composed, and for them not to get caught up in the social media hype, because that's the one that's actually starting to encourage people to blow money and just spend money irresponsibly. Not that they weren't doing it before, but I think this whole instant gratification stage is really, it's not making it better. Let me just put it like that. All right. So yeah, man, to a prosperous 2024, guys. You know, I wish you guys prosperous 2024. Let's go out there and get it. Take your time. All right, you're in no competition with anybody. Your journey is your journey. All right, stick to your guns and just do you, man. Do your thing. Stay positive. All right, the journey does get tough, but yeah, just make sure you weather those tough times and then just get back to doing what you do. All right. And just before I go, I just want to, you know, just give a quick thank you to everybody who keeps supporting the podcast, man. And you can keep supporting the podcast. Make sure you get your merchandise. The link will be available on Linktree as well, along with all the other links that you can check out. But we've got some awesome merch out. Do check it out. We've got some awesome merch out. And yeah, so that's pretty much it, man. Pretty much it. First episode for 2024. Out the gate. All right. So with that being said, guys, I wish you guys all the best. Have a good day. Have a good morning. Have a good evening. And yeah, great to create content for you guys again, man. All right. See you guys on the next episode. As we say in Japanese, otsukaresama desu, meaning see you next time. Cheers. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports. We lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.